Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today, our scripture is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, which say, "We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." There is a progression when we have difficult things come into our life. And of course, these difficulties sometimes are hard to face, but if we are believers in Christ, we know that everything that comes to us comes through the filter of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hedge around us as believers and are being protected. But when things come to us, we realize they come from God. And when they come, look at what happens. Our suffering produces perseverance. That means it helps us to be able to get through the difficulties of life and to face them head on. Perseverance produces character. Character is someone who has integrity. It doesn't matter what the circumstances, he's always the same. He's always trusting the Lord. He's got his faith there, and he's trusting God to help him through the difficult situation, whatever it is. It doesn't matter how long it takes. And of course, character then brings hope. As we continue to work through the difficulty or the problem or the health issue or whatever is facing us that's very difficult, we know that these things continue to give us hope because we know God's continuing to work in our life. And what I've found is when we have good times in my life and things are going well, we don't learn very much. But I do know that when I suffer, when things are difficult, when things don't make sense, when I can't believe what someone has done to me, I realize that God's allowed this thing, and I understand that he wants it there for some purpose. And so what I try to do is figure out what he's trying to teach me. And I'm trying to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and I know you are too. And through suffering, we can do that, and that will give us hope. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Dave and Jean Foster, who have a tremendous ministry in London, England. They've been there for several years and have grown just a very dynamic church with, I'm not sure how many different countries and language groups that they have in that church, but it's like the UN when you preach there. And I've been invited to preach there several times. I've always enjoyed fellowship with David and Jean. They have some tremendous opportunities for outreach into the community and even to the Muslim community. And Dave, why don't you just start telling us about how the Lord has opened so many doors for you?
Christmas, we've started now planning our Christmas program. Last year we had 105. We do scripture, Christmas carols, and serve a traditional English Christmas lunch. That's that Christmas and Easter, we do a very pointed Christian message. One encouraging thing, the last outing we had, some of the Hindu ladies that come with us quite regularly and would have been some of the last people I would have expected to ask me this, but they said, "Can you give me anything to read about Jesus?" And I said, "Yeah, we'll sort that out for you." So we've given them some literature to read, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to share.
Amen. With them. Jean, actually, she the first year we were there, been there 14 years, but the first year she kept a track of how many she'd hosted people in the home. There's around 1,000 people.
Oh my goodness.
In the home, so
their home is very comfortable, but it's not large. So they would be packed in there pretty good. Yeah. So that's great.
That's one of the cultural things is with the people we have, you don't have to have a lot of space per person.
Yeah. Right. Well, David, talk about some of the, I know you had some real interactions with the Muslim community and great opportunities to share Christ. I know our radio audience would really like to hear about those.
You know, I think that first of all, probably begins you know, in our own hearts as far as asking the Lord to just really fill us with his love and compassion, break down any of the barriers, any prejudices, and some of the world's what they impose as far as wanting us to think about different people. But yes, the Lord has opened many different doors, opportunity, particularly at the beginning of 2015, whenever one of the Muslim counselors, local government, came to me and said, David, would you like to come and represent the Christian faith? We're having, it was a British Muslim Indian Association in the UK with 450 Muslim leaders. You come representing the Christian faith, but we'll give you an opportunity to speak. And then whenever I ask, well, what is the topic? And they said, the topic is unity in the midst of diversity. And he just really laid into my lap a prime opportunity to be able to share the love of Jesus, because I use our own congregation as an example of how the many different nationalities, very diverse, but yet what brings us together, what unites us together, is the love of Jesus Christ. And you know, I had the privilege, it was an amazing opportunity, with 450 Muslim leaders in the community, a formal dinner, also 60 counselors from three different boroughs in London that were also invited to this, plus all the MPs in our area of East London that were there, and just to be able to get up and speak and just outline the gospel in a very simple way, and how Christ comes to live within us by his Spirit, and his Spirit that will unite us together in his love and his grace. And and you know, as a result, some of the Muslim leaders in the community, and they began to recognize you, and it opens many other doors as well. So it's been a tremendous time, particularly in the last two or three years, and that the Lord has opened those doors.
So. Yeah. Didn't you tell me one time that there were some Muslim leaders in the community that came to you and wanted you to talk to just the imams about how to save their kids, that they were losing their kids, and they were concerned about that, and you were able to talk to them as well?
Yes, that's right. I had two imams that came at the end of our second service on a Sunday morning, and they said, could we speak to you? And I said, well, it's not really a good opportunity now, but if you'd like to come back on a Monday morning. About a week later, one of them did come back, and they said, there's a bunch of Muslim leaders that were having a meeting, and they wanted me to come. And they had concerns about, because in our area, it's always been a very mobile area, people coming, going, immigrants coming into the country. With that, also more recent years has been lots of prostitution and drugs. And some of the Muslim leaders were concerned about their own children being drawn into that kind of culture. And so they invite us to come. Some of their concerns were, you know, how can we move these people on out of our area? And I said, well, actually, we, as Christians, one of the things that we do is we pray that their lives will be actually changed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. So, yes, it is just been one opportunity after another. We went on a week's holiday this last summer, and it was one of those unfortunate timings in some ways, because our local MP, who is a Christian believer, he was actually brutally stabbed by is actually a Muslim lady that came into his office, and but he survived. As a result, he has become very more outspoken as far as his faith in Jesus Christ. But he contacted me. He said, David, the Minister of Religious Affairs in Pakistan is going to be here, and he's invited you and I to come and to meet with him. And unfortunately, I was away on holiday, and I couldn't make it. But yes, it's been really blessed opportunities. Yeah.
Lord has certainly opened wonderful, wonderful opportunities for you, and is using you in a mighty way. And it's really a blessing to read your emails and see how God's working. And I've been very encouraged through your ministry as well. So the Lord bless you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. You know, this is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our faithful listeners and donors. We appreciate if you would pray for us and ask the Lord what he might have you do to help us to continue this broadcast into the future. After all, this is North America's longest-running Christian broadcast. and we would appreciate if you could help us to pray to keep it on the air. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet for Mother's Day. Since we just came through the pandemic, which has caused a lot of suffering and displacement, I thought this booklet could be especially helpful to all of us at this time. It's called Making Sense of Suffering, and it's by Joni Erickson Tada. And it's just a wonderful booklet that talks about suffering from God's viewpoint, from the biblical viewpoint, and how we can cope with the situation we find ourselves in. Suffering involves having what you do not want and wanting what you do not have. How we deal with suffering is strongly linked to our perspective on God and our attitude about His dealings in our lives. This booklet answers those questions and I believe will be a great blessing to you if you write in and get your free copy. You can order your copy by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I got love like a river, I've got love like a river, I've got love like a river in my soul, in my soul. I've got love like a river, I've got love like a river, I've got love like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a river, I've got joy like a river, I've got joy like a river in my soul, in my soul. I've got joy like a river, I've got joy like a river, I've got joy like a river in my soul, in my soul. I've got joy like a river in my soul, in my soul.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled New Life, New Light. I'm sure you will enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
The sun is one of God's most remarkable creations. It is so common to us that we often take it for granted. Speaking of God, the psalmist wrote, "The day is thine, and the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun." Psalm 74:16. And he said, "He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows his going down." Psalm 104, verse 19. No wonder we read later, "Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light." Psalm 148, verse 3. It is the created praising the Creator. When God made the sun, he made it just right. It is the largest object in the solar system with a diameter of about 109 times that of the Earth. It's about 91,400,000 miles from the Earth at its shortest distance. It takes sunlight about 8 minutes and 20 seconds to reach the Earth, traveling at more than 186,000 miles per second. The temperature of the sun is about 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Amazingly, the Earth intercepts only 1/2,000,000th of the sun's total energy. Experts say that if the sun's temperature dropped by just 13%, the Earth would become imprisoned in a cocoon of ice a mile thick. And if the heat increased by 30%, every last vestige of life on Earth would be fried to extinction. What a wonderful God we have. He has worked it out just right. We have exactly what we need. Any more or any less would create numerous problems. This great source of energy is available to us all, and we certainly enjoy it, especially when the sun is shining. I'm not surprised to find that God even used the sun to describe himself. The psalmist wrote, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84 and verse 11. In the Gospel of John in the New Testament, there are some of the most wonderful words you will ever want to hear. Listen from chapter 1. Whether you're a believer or not, this is some of the most exciting news ever written. John portrays who Jesus is and what he came to do in a very unique and concise way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this Word that the Bible is talking about here in John chapter 1? Who is this one who was light and life? Who is John talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the Word of God. Now, we communicate through words, and we can ponder hundreds of thoughts, but your thoughts cannot be conveyed unless you use the vehicle of words. Here, Jesus is the Word of God. We are told in this passage of Scripture that the Word was in the beginning with God, made everything as God, came to dwell among us that we might see and know who God is and what God is like. And the Word, Jesus, came to communicate God to us. He was literally God coming down to man, veiled in human flesh, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." But the Bible uses another description here. Not only is Jesus the Word, but this Word is light. Jesus is the one who came to shine for God in the darkness of mankind, to bring illumination and light to everything. Oh, we are living in such dark days. But Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In John 3, he said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God and for the glory of God. The Bible connects the concept of believing to the concept of being saved, to the concept of having light, to the concept of having life. How wonderful this is. Have you ever asked someone about something they recently tried that was new and innovative? Perhaps it was something new in the field of technology. You may have asked them if it made a difference, and they responded by saying, "Like night and day." Well, friend, Jesus Christ will bring the difference of night and day into your daily life. People were made to fulfill God's plan and God's pleasure, but are unplugged from him, the source of light and life. It is through the Word that has experienced him. It is through him that true light comes. The world has experienced a universal power failure, and the result of that power failure is a life of darkness, a life of despair. God, knowing this, wanted to do something about it. We can't experience light and life apart from knowing Christ. who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father but through the Lord Jesus. Now we are unplugged from God, and therefore we walk in darkness and we walk in despair. Oh, how evident that is today. Think about it. What can darkness mean? Well, it creates fear. Fear and imagination. We become so overwhelmed with fears and darkened imaginations because we live in darkness. But we don't have to be in fear. We don't have to be in a place very long before we experience fear and anxiety if we're unplugged from God and in the dark. All kinds of things come into our imagination, and darkness also conceals danger. So many evil deeds are done in the dark. Why? Because of the element of surprise. If you try to make your way around your own home in the darkness of night without a light, you can have a terrible accident. Darkness also causes confusion. I remember being in a stadium, and a batter stepped up to bat. The pitcher was ready to throw the baseball, and all of a sudden the stadium lights went out. There was confusion on the field and in the stands. Everybody knew something was wrong, but nobody seemed to know what to do about it. As we look on the world seen today and the lives of people around us, we realize that we are unplugged from God. Therefore, generally speaking, man walks in darkness and he walks in despair. He knows something is wrong, but isn't quite sure what to do about it. Because we may walk in darkness, we fail to see things properly. Therefore, we can make foolish and wrong choices in life. So many people are going down the drain, living in despair, making all kinds of foolish and wrong choices. It's like a lamp sitting on your table. It may look wonderful, but when you flick the switch, nothing happens. Why? Because it isn't plugged in. You can make the lamp look good. You can polish it, dust it, make it look nice. But it's worthless when the darkness comes because it isn't plugged into the source of power. That's the difference that Jesus Christ can make in your life. Without him, you're unplugged to the source of power. You live in darkness. And then you live in despair. And the Bible teaches that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, that we may no longer walk in darkness. He sent Jesus, who is life, eternal life. We need no longer live in despair. And that's what the Bible is simply telling us. But so many people say, well, you know, if I would become a Christian, I know I wouldn't have the strength to live it. And that's true, you don't. But if you get plugged into the life of God through faith in Christ, if you get plugged into the source of power, then your life becomes different. Your life becomes as described in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we learn to walk in the light as he is in the light, because we have fellowship one with another. Do you know that the Bible teaches in Colossians 1:27 that life as a Christian is this: Christ in you, the hope or the assurance of glory. Does a light go on when you think of that? The Christian life is not trying to live like Christ, it is Christ living in you. And all of a sudden the glow is there, and the glory is there, and you can live with the power of God, because he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What God starts, he finishes. Why? Because he comes to live his life in you. That's what salvation means. It means coming to Christ, repenting of your sin, inviting him into your life, believing on him as Savior and Lord. And when he comes in, he transforms your life, plugs you into the new source of power that is he himself. That's why the Bible says, in him was life, and this life was the light of men. No light, no life. If you don't believe on the name of the Son of God, you're condemned already. You're living in darkness. You're already unplugged. You can go to church. You can try to be good. You can adopt all kind of philosophies, but you will be without life, without light, living in darkness and despair. How can you be connected to him? It's very simple. God has provided the connection to himself through one way, and that is Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one way to God. It is through Jesus Christ. It all begins with an act of faith, of commitment, of devoting and dedicating yourself to Him, of acting on the basis of your belief. And when you do that and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, something fantastic happens. You become plugged into the life of God, and the new life is yours. That life is everlasting life, eternal life. Augustine once wrote, "God called and broke open my deafness. God sent forth His beams and cleansed away my blindness. God breathed His fragrance upon me, and I drew breath, and now I hunger and thirst for Him." What he was simply saying is this: once he lived in darkness and despair, unplugged from God, and the moment he came to Christ and received Him as Savior, new life came in, eternal life, spiritual life, the very life of God. You can make that choice today, my friend. And you can receive that light and that life through personal faith in Christ. Oh, that's why Philip Bliss, who wrote many hymns, penned these words some years ago: "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of that world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of that world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus." Yes, come to the light and find in Him forgiveness and new life and meaning, and you'll be plugged in to eternity with God.
I know the message you just heard will be a great blessing to you throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're really concerned about those who listen to our broadcast, and especially those who may not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel tells us a simple truth, that we are all sinners and we need a Savior. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another verse tells us that the wages of that sin, in other words, a payment for it, is death, spiritual death, separation from God. But we have a gift of God that was provided to us by God Himself. The only way any of us can get saved is by accepting God's gift. It's not by any of our efforts or works. It's simply by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you will be saved. You need to believe. You need to trust in Him. When you trust in Him, it means that you are acting in faith. You're believing in Him. You're believing that He died for your sins, He took your place, and that He will give you eternal life. But there's a second side to that, that this will change our lives. The moment of salvation, God the Holy Spirit becomes part of our life, and He will start making changes. Another verse tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." And as we follow Christ, as we read His word, as we pray to Him, things will change and God will use us and open doors for us and bless us. Don't forget to order your copy of Making Sense of Suffering. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also visit us at our website, www.missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers, and please write in to get your copy of Making Sense of Suffering. May the Lord bless you throughout this next week and use you in a mighty way.